Turn to Psalm 119. Looking at this blessed life that the first two verses speak of, and I believe is illustrated throughout the 119th Psalm. We've been looking at for several weeks now. It's a life shaped by particular desires, and we see these desires in the prayers that the psalmist prayed and throughout Psalm 119. And again, I do believe that these desires are somewhere in every child of God. I don't believe that you can have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you and not have these desires somewhere. But again, in order to live the blessed life, these desires aren't buried. These desires are an everyday part of our life, and the more they are so, the more blessed of a life, the more enjoyable life is. I want to look at verse 133, and we've preached on this verse before. He says, "Order my steps in thy word," and we've already looked at the second part, "and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." To concern ourselves tonight with the first part of that prayer, order my steps in thy word. This is a desire for one's life to be governed by God and his word. And that should be an everyday desire of our hearts, that our life, and we realize that God governs everything. He's in control of everything. We're talking about consciously living under his government, his rule. So he prays, "Order my steps in thy word." There are several elements contained in this prayer that make up the blessed life. It's a very short prayer. There's nothing really complicated about it, but there is just so much in those words, "Order my steps in thy word." First of all, it's a prayer of one who has a conviction concerning the word of God. We've already seen that the blessed life is a life of conviction concerning God. It's a life of conviction concerning the word of God. You'll never live this life without those convictions. And obviously, the one who prayed this prayer has a conviction concerning the word of God, "in thy word." So he saw the word of God has a source of God's direction, a source of God's instruction. "Order my steps in thy word." He saw the word of God has God's pattern in which he should walk, God's revealing God's method and how he is to walk. He looks at it as God's rule to regulate thought and behavior. He obviously recognizes it as God's authority. I believe he recognizes it as God's remedy for whatever is wrong. God's word is, you find God's remedy in his word. He sees it as a guide through all the circumstances of life. And again, in order to live this blessed life, there must be this personal conviction. There must be this assurance concerning the Word of God. And there must be a desire to have God and to have God's Word in our lives. So again, order my steps in thy word. This is also the prayer of an individual who realizes, who is very much aware that he is not an authority to himself. He realizes that there is an authority beyond himself. So this is not the prayer of one who aspires to be his own man, one who aspires to be his own master. It is not the prayer of one who aspires to exert his own will and to have his own way. Order my steps in thy word. The blessed life, again, in order to live that life, you do not aspire to be your own master. Aspiring to be our own master, to exert our own will always be a detriment to spirituality, will always be a detriment to living this blessed life. So the blessed life does not aspire to be our own master. It's really living our life realizing that there's something greater than self. There's something greater than self-gratification. There's something greater than self-service, self-will, and self-seeking. Now, there are not many today who realize that truth. That there is something greater, that there is something beyond self. And of course, that is God. So this is the prayer of one also who is very well aware of his own bent, of his own nature. Realizing that, he prays, order my steps in thy prayer, in thy word. The prayer is in the imperative mood, so it basically equals a command. And what that means is that the prayer is indicative of a sense of urgency. So when he prays, order my steps in thy word, he feels an urgency for God to direct his steps. It speaks of the fact that he's praying with passion. He's praying with an earnestness. And the reason there's a passion and the reason there's an earnestness is because, again, he feels a sense of urgency. And we ought to feel that sense of urgency that God would order our steps in his word every single day. And that ought to be our desire every single day. So order my steps in thy word. He was fully aware of his own sinful disposition. He was aware that if he were left to himself, left to his own ways, left to his own reason, left to his own desires, left to his own conclusions, he was aware that if he was left to himself, that he would certainly go the wrong way. You and I will not live this blessed life until we realize our sinful disposition, until we realize that we cannot be left to ourselves. There's nothing good that is going to come from that. That we will be a detriment to ourselves. A lot of God's people want to be left alone. And I mean by that, they want to be left alone by God. That's say God's people, those who profess to be God's people. They may be, they may not be. But many of them just want to be left alone, or they only want God in certain areas of their life, and that is at certain times in their life. But this, the individual who prayed this prayer did not want to be left alone, did not want God to leave him to himself. It seems to me that there's a degree of fear here that this individual would be left to himself. It's a very fearful thing. Again, Romans chapter 1, I believe that's the position of the United States right now, is that God has, there's the wrath of God's departure. God just leaves. God just leaves a nation or a people or an individual to themselves. And when he does, they ruin themselves. They bring ruin into their lives. So we must fear being left to ourselves. Being left to ourselves is God removing the hedge that is around us. And now we're wide open for every assault and every enemy that is out there. So he's desperate here that God would not leave him to himself. So in those words, there's also a desire that he be protected from himself. That ought to be our desire every day. It ought to be an everyday prayer of ours. Lord, protect me from myself. Deliver me from myself. We see in several places in the 119th Psalm that he prayed for deliverance from his enemies. There's nothing wrong with praying that prayer, to pray that God would protect us from our enemies, to pray that God would deliver us from our enemies. But in praying that prayer, we need to realize that our biggest enemy is ourselves. And we need to pray to be protected from ourselves, to for God to remove, to get self out of the way. So order my steps in thy word is a prayer of one who is conscious of danger. He is conscious of the danger that is within him, and he is conscious of the danger that is all around him. He knew that the path in which God had called him to walk was very narrow, and it is. And he knew that that narrow path is contrary to self, and that it is in opposition, or self is in opposition to that narrow path. He knew that. He did not want to go astray. He did not want to stray or be diverted from that narrow path, but he also knew that if he were left to himself, he would certainly stray from that narrow path. And straying from that narrow path leads to the danger of becoming a slave to sin. And he was fearful of this. And that is stated in the second part of the prayer, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And we looked at that when we looked at the desire to have victory over sin. But this is a prayer of one who is fearful that if left to himself, if God does not intervene, constantly intervene in his life, that he will not walk that narrow path. And if he does not walk that narrow path, he will become a slave to sin. Iniquity will have dominion over him. He's fearful of this. And this ought to be a fear of ours. It ought to be a fear that we stray from the narrow path. And we will stray unless God order our steps, unless God intervene in our life. we will stray. We don't just need an occasional intervening of God. We need God intervening in our life all the time. And if that's not the case, again, we're going to stray from the narrow path, and we become a slave. And we can become a slave to any iniquity. And the psalmist knew that. He didn't mention any particular sins. He says, let not any iniquity. In other words, he knew that it was likely that any sin could have a place of dominion in his life. You and I may right now not have a problem with a particular sin, but that doesn't mean that tomorrow we won't have a problem with it. That doesn't mean that a week from now, or a year from now, or 10 years from now. So we need to constantly be praying, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And how do we achieve that? Is order my steps in thy word. That's the way for not to allow iniquity to have dominion over us. So he sees the seriousness and awfulness of sin, and that's why he prays, order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And he realized that any sin, and that any sin at any time could become a dominating factor in his life. And he also realized that a single misstep, that's all it takes. All it takes is one misstep, and we can come under the dominion of sin. And it seems to me that when he prayed, order my steps in thy word, he realized that. He realized it only takes one step to get off the narrow path. It only takes one step to head down the wrong path. So he was very much aware that walking in the path of God's word, that's why he prays, order my steps in thy word. He was very much aware that walking in the path of God's word was the antidote against iniquity having dominion over him. Order my steps in thy word. Obviously, that is a prayer of one who desires God. But it is also the prayer of one who realizes, I need the help of God. I need the help of God in just taking a step. Because without God's help, I am very likely to take the wrong step. So the psalmist realized, I need God. I need God's help. He realized that without God, I am going to go the wrong way. And he realized that the power to walk in the right way and to overcome sin, let not any iniquity have dominion over me, the power to do that was not in himself. The power to do that was not in an assembly of the saints. The power to do that was God and his word. So he prays, order my steps in thy word. It is the prayer of one who desired, one who longed to be attached to the Word of God, so attached that he each step is in the path of God's Word. He desires to be identified in God's Word. We are identified by our walk. Our walk speaks of our habit of life. And the psalmist here isn't praying about the walk as a whole, He's praying about the details of the walk, a step. Order my steps in thy word. So he desires to be identified with the word of God. The word order is also translated several times, established. So he is praying that he would be established in God's word, that he would be entrenched, embedded, anchored, if you will, in God's word. If we're going to live the blessed life, we have to be established in the word of God. We become established by reading and studying God's word and by practicing God's word. Just reading and studying it will not establish you in God's word. You have to read it, study it, and practice it. And that causes establishment in God's word. And the more established we are in his word, the more our steps are in line with God's word. He is also praying here that his priorities would be in order. We'll get to a little bit of that later. But he's praying that, order my steps. Order my steps in thy word. He's praying that his priorities would be in line with God's word. Again, if left to ourselves, we will take a misstep, and a misstep will lead to wrong priorities. The more missteps we take, the more twisted our priorities become. Order my steps in thy word. This is the prayer of someone who realizes that God possesses absolute right regarding every detail, regarding every aspect of my life. Living the blessed life, we realize, we accept, and we submit to the fact that the Lord has the right of possession of all that we are, of all that we have. Again, we realize that. Most of God's people realize that. Not that many accept it. And fewer, of course, submit to it. If we're going to live the blessed life, we have to realize it, we have to accept it, we have to submit to the fact that God has the right of possession of everything in my life, everything about my life. He has the right to command me to do whatever he pleases. He has the right to send me wherever he pleases. He has the right to give me whatever he pleases. If he wants to give me wealth, he has that right. If he wants to give me a disease, he has that right. He also has the right to take away whatever it is he wants to take away. He can take away bad things. He can take away what we would consider good things. But God has that right. And when God exercises his right, whether we understand it or not, God is good. God has every right to withhold from me whatever he wants to withhold. And we have to, again, realize that fact. We have to accept that fact. But again, we can't stop there, because you can accept something and still not be happy about it and still have a wrong attitude. But we have to submit to that fact also. He has the right to expect of me whatever he wants to expect. And he has the right to demand whatever he pleases to demand. God may demand something from one person that he may not demand from somebody else. But that's God's business. And God has the right to do that. So living the blessed life is living life realizing this fact. I'm God's. I belong to him. And he has absolute right. He has absolute claim upon every single detail of my life. That realizing that, accepting that, submitting to that is the blessed life. You fight against that, it doesn't change anything. God still has absolute right. God still has absolute claim. You fight all you want against that. He can still do with you whatever he pleases. But I'll tell you what, if you fight against that, it'll make your life miserable. You'll never live the blessed life fighting against God's control. Remember Saul in the road to Damascus before he was saved. The Lord said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was fighting all the way. He just made it more and more difficult. And many of God's people, of course, just make their life more and more difficult every day because they will not yield, they will not submit, they will not accept that God is their master. So order my steps in thy word. This is the prayer of one who longs for a God-governed life. He not only longs for it, he is pursuing. He is pursuing that God would rule his life. That God would control his life. That his life would be under the leadership and under the dominance and under the regulation of God. He desires a God-regulated life. So when the psalmist prayed, order my steps, he does not pray, order my walk. That's not what he prays. Now that's included, of course, but he says, order my steps. Steps are the minute details of a walk. You can't have a walk unless you have steps. Steps are the minute details that make up a walk. A step is a very small detail. It is a small detail that results in our ways. Again, all through the Bible, we see we're to walk in newness of life. We see we're to walk worthy of the vocation which we're called. And all through the Bible, we see that our life is compared to a walk. And a walk simply speaks of our habitual actions that make up our life. There are many steps that make up the habitual actions of our life. Those steps are the details. There are many steps that make up our ways. You don't just roll out of the bed in the morning and have a habit of life. Whatever our habit of life is, whether it be good, bad, whatever it is, there have been steps that have made up, that have formed that habit. Again, if God leaves us to ourselves, we will take the wrong steps. And we will form bad spiritual habits in our lives. And we all know that whether it be a spiritual habit or a physical habit, habits are very difficult to break. They are very difficult. Once a habit takes hold in our life, it's very difficult to break loose. It's a struggle. to break loose from that habit. That's why we have to pray, order my steps in thy word. It's those steps that make up our habits. So he's expressing here his desire for God to manifestly rule, control, lead, regulate, dictate, exercise his dominance, and intervene even in what most would consider insignificant details of life. I dare say that what many considers to be insignificant details lead to destructive lives. It's those so-called insignificant details that produce terrible spiritual habits. So the psalmist is praying here that God would exercise his dominance in the very minute details of the psalmist's life. It is a prayer of one who desires that God and his word shape every thought. Again, a thought, whether it just be a fleeting thought, that is not an insignificant detail. It speaks of a condition of the heart. So when he's praying for God to order his steps in his word, that is that all the minute details of his word, of his life, would be in a line with God's word. He's talking about the thought. He's talking about the feeling. He's talking about a simple emotion. Perhaps a word. Things that we consider. Well, just one word. It's just one emotion. It's just one feeling. As if it doesn't matter. As if it's insignificant. We ought to, whatever man considers to be insignificant, whatever we consider to be insignificant, it ought to be our desire that God order those things. All the so-called insignificant details in our lives concerns every act that we perform. So this is the prayer of one who is concerned about every step. Order my steps. So he is concerned about every step. He is concerned about every minute detail in his life. He is concerned about what others would think to be insignificant. He realizes that there really is nothing that is not significant. And that so he desires that God would in a very manifest way rule in the minute details of his life. Again, we can get back to the thought. We can have a thought. We'll say it's a sinful thought. It ought to disturb us. It ought to bother us. Why did I think that? Why did that thought just flash through my mind? You may think, well, at least I didn't act upon it. Well, that's a good thing that you didn't act upon it. But it's still a bad thing that that thought was even there. So the thought is not insignificant. Even if we didn't act on it, it's not insignificant in our overall spiritual health. So order my steps in thy word is bringing our... It's the desire to bring our thoughts in conformity with the Word of God. So the blessed life is a life lived with the recognition of God as master in all the particulars that make up our life. Order my steps in thy word. He did not want to take a single step contrary to God's word. Not one step. Not one step contrary to God's word. That's perfection. If you live your life and not take one single step contrary to God's word, that's perfection. And we see that it was a concern of his not to take a single step. You see, it's not good enough to say, well, everybody else has the same problem that I do. That may be so. That may be very true. But our concern still ought to be that we do not take a single step contrary to God's word. It's only by the mercy and grace of God. Again, we've taken many steps contrary to God's word. And it's only by God's grace and mercy that those steps have not taken us into the hog pen and left us there. So order my steps in thy word. If I do not take a single step in that direction, I can't walk in that direction. But if I take one step in that direction, I'm on my way to forming a walk in that direction. So we have to be concerned about every step. When he says, order my steps in thy word, he's praying that God would arrange his steps. Order speaks of arrangement. Word order, there's the implication of training. He's praying that God would train him to take his steps in God's word. To order is to anchor. He's praying that God would anchor his steps in his word, that God would bring his steps in alignment with God's word. You see, the very moment that we realize that we've taken a step or several steps contrary to God's word, we need to stop. Don't proceed any further. You need to stop. Right there. Now, we can take a step and not realize it away from God. We can perhaps take two, three, four. But you can't get too far where you do not come to the realization, I'm going the wrong way. Now, I believe that's in every child of God. You come to the realization, I'm going the wrong way. Now you can do one of two things. You can either continue in that way, or you can turn back around. And those are really the only two things that you'll do. So, again, he's praying that God would arrange his steps, that his steps would be in submission to God's word. He's praying that every detail of his life would follow God's word. God's word would be the model and the pattern for every step that he takes. What he's praying here, order my steps in thy word, he's saying, make me to do the right thing. Make me to do the right thing in every minute detail of my life. Make me to do the right thing. He's praying that everything, every step would be according to God's order. That God would not allow him to take a single step without his orders. So this is the prayer of someone who wants to be right with God. May I say that if we want to be right with God, being right with God is not on our terms. Being right with God is on God's terms. You and I do not set the terms on being right with God. God's already set those terms. So this is the prayer of someone who desires to be right with God. It is the prayer of someone who desires that his priorities be in proper sequence. When you think of the word order, you can also think of the word sequence. So when he's praying, order my steps in thy word, again we get back to priorities. He wants his steps to be in sequence with God's word. He wants his steps to be appropriate in God's word. So the blessed life is a life of right priorities. If our steps are ordered in God's word, that is, we walk the path of this book, priorities take care of themselves. Our priorities will be in proper sequence. And the proper sequence is always, without exception, soul ahead of the body. That's always proper sequence. It's never a proper sequence to put physical needs ahead of spiritual needs. Proper sequence is the spiritual before the carnal. Now again, if you keep everything in proper sequence, you're not even faced with some of the choices that many are faced with. You're not even faced with some of the decisions that many are in a quandary about, because your priorities are in proper sequence. The reason many times people have to make the decisions that they have to make is because their priorities are in the wrong sequence. If they just get the priorities right, they wouldn't even be in that position to choose between spiritual and carnal. The fact that you have to think about what I'm going to do here, the spiritual, that which is right or that which is wrong, shows that your priorities are not right. When there's a proper sequence, we spare ourselves much trouble. We spare ourselves many traps. Proper sequence is eternal treasure is always ahead of earthly gain. Always. Always. No exceptions. Well, I got to feed my family. I realize that. God realizes that. But eternal treasure is always to be ahead of earthly gain. Always. You do not choose the carnal and then try to fit in the spiritual. That's out of sequence. That doesn't work. And the glory of God is always ahead of self. That's proper sequence. So the psalmist and the blessed life is, the psalmist is desiring a well-ordered life. A well-ordered life is a happy life. A well-ordered life is a life that's free of many of the troubles that people have. I'm telling you, a lot of troubles would not exist if people's lives were just ordered. If their lives were just ordered in accord with the Word of God, they wouldn't have the troubles that they have. So the blessed life is a very well-ordered life. And there can't be a better order than having our steps in God's Word. In God's Word. Lastly, living the blessed life is simply realizing, again, order my steps in thy Word. It's realizing that really there are no insignificant matters as far as my overall spiritual health. I need God in every one of them. I need God in every matter of my life. We need to be concerned about the minute details of our life. And if we would concern ourselves, and by concern I'm talking about spiritually, if we would concern ourselves with the minute details, if God were governing the minute details of our lives, we would save ourselves many of the major details that we wouldn't even have to have. Once again, it gets back to a well-ordered life. It is a life desiring God to be in the details. Desiring God to be in that one thought. Desiring God to be in that one word. The minute details that make up a life. It only takes one misstep to bring ruin. So we have to realize the danger. The blessed life is a life lived under the government of God, a life lived in submission to God's authority, a life pursuing God's dominance in our life. Which brings us back, which brings us to humility. To pursue God's dominance in my life, I have to humble myself every single day. I have to continually humble myself if I desire God's dominance in my life. Now, there are a lot of people who profess to be saved, whether they are or not, God knows. But there are many people who profess to be saved who do not want, and they would be lying to you if they said they did, they do not want God's dominance in their life. They want a God that they can put up on the shelf and take down whenever they please, whenever they feel they have a need, and then put them back up there. Now you stay there and then live their life as they please. And every now and then they want to show him off, so they pull him back down from the shelf. There are a lot of people that live that way. And that, I guarantee you, is a miserable, miserable life. But the blessed life, what a wonderful life that God has given us the privilege and the opportunity to live. Life lived God's way is wonderful. Amen. And as we've said many times, if life isn't wonderful, it's because you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. It's plain and simple. So what a wonderful life we have to live. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us first song.